Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Safety questions concerning human character have been and will continue to be debated. Is environment or heredity more important in determining character? Can virtue be taught? Do individual leaders guide the course of history, or do trends in history influence the leaders? Challenging as such questions may be, the text suggested for our homily this morning presents a study in one aspect of character, Christian courage, and clearly indicates the source of this virtue. The setting occurs within a few years after Jesus' ascension, probably around 32 A.D., certainly not later than 35 A.D. Stephen, chosen as one of the seven to care for the widows of the Jerusalem church, also began debating in the synagogue, possibly the same one attended by Paul, since it was frequented by men of Cilicia. Stephen's courage is clear from the content of his speech, in which he boldly reprimands Judaism for its excessive emphasis on Jerusalem and the temple, the pride of Jewish civic and spiritual life. Stephen's speech, as pointed out by Dr. Charlemagne in his monograph, Stephen, a Singular Saint, should be read against the backdrop of the running argument between Judea and Samaria. It took courage for Stephen to speak a topic not too popular with the populace in Jerusalem. But Stephen's courage is most evident in his charges against his opponents immediately preceding our text. How stubborn you are, and pagan at heart, and deaf to the truth. You're always opposing the Holy Spirit. Your fathers did it, and so do you. Was there ever a prophet your fathers didn't persecute? They killed those who announced the righteous one will come, and now you betrayed and murdered him. Angels were ordered to give you the law, but you didn't keep it. Stephen's courage is evident also when his hearers react to his speech. His bold accusations were too much for them. They were not able to restrain themselves against without immediate reaction. According to the King James Version and the Revised Standard Version, it may not appear certain whether Stephen had the opportunity to finish his address. Both versions read, when they heard these things, as if the reaction of the opponents took place after the conclusion of the speech, which really does not seem to arrive at a natural finish. The present participle in the Greek text, akouen text, however, indicates that Stephen was not finished, since the present participle, as a rule, implies the same tense as the main verb or verbs, which in our text are imperfect indicative. The implication is that the opponents got furious and began to grind their teeth at him while they were still listening to his accusations. They did not apparently allow Stephen to finish before reacting. Commentators debate whether the incident recorded in our text was a legal trial or a mob murder. One conclusion that the text seems to bear out is that what began as a legal trial ended as a furious attack by an enraged mob. Stephen's vision of the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand, notes Jesus is standing in this text as if ready to welcome Stephen to his heavenly home, This vision infuriated the opponents and kindled the mob spirit. We read the yells at the top of their voices held their ears shut, and all together rushed at him. Then they threw him out of the city and started to stone him. Another imperfect tense overlooked by the King James translators and others. This is hardly the scene of an orderly crowd, but rather one of an infuriated mob. Confronted by this mob reaction, Stephen manifests Christian courage rather than fear. He prays, first for himself and then for others. It is natural for a person in time of danger to pray for himself, to utter a phrase such as, God help me, or Lord save me. But it is unnatural for human nature to pray as Stephen does, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. His prayer does not stem from fear, but from courage. His prayer is an affirmation of his trust. Because of his trust, he is able to maintain his courage, while, as the text says, they kept throwing stones at him. Another imperfect tense missed by some translators. Stephen is courageous because of his confidence that whatever happens, Christ is adequate for any emergency. The second part of Stephen's prayer, his prayer for others, is also unusual for human nature. It is natural in the face of imminent death, for by this time many stones had crushed his body violently but had not crushed his spirit. It is natural under such circumstances for a person to pray for others, for his loved ones, his spouse, his children, his friends. But Stephen prayed for his attackers, a non-natural act similar to the prayer of his supernatural Savior. Prayer throws light on a person's nature and character. When the chips go down, it is difficult to maintain a pretense. In the face of danger or death, a person whose character tends to become apparent. Stephen's prayer, while the stones were dashing upon him, revealed his Christian courage and lack of fear. His final words, requesting forgiveness for his attackers, show the confidence, trust, and courage in his heart. Stephen's courage is not a temporary attempt to put on a good front. His courage is the result of an attribute deeply ingrained in his character. The source of Stephen's courage is that he was full of the Holy Spirit. But the influence of the Holy Spirit was not a passing fancy, but a condition of long standing with Stephen is clear from the same reference to Stephen when he was chosen as one of the seven in Acts 6:5. Stephen is mentioned first. And to his name alone is added the phrase, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, our text indicates that the influence of the Holy Spirit in Stephen's life was of long standing by the use of hypostone, a verb usually implying a more permanent condition than the simpler participle of the verb to be owned. That is, being full of the Holy Spirit was a quality not merely suddenly come upon him, but one which he had possessed for some time. As Scripture teaches, a gift, a divine gift which Christians receive through word and sacrament. It was this divine gift which is the source of Stephen's courage. Novels and dramas present antagonists in contrast to their protagonist. At times it may be a villain versus a hero. In Western movies, the good guys ride white horses and wear white hats, while the bad guys have black horses and black hats. In our text, Saul, who would be wearing a black hat and on a black horse, makes his first appearance in Acts. His appearance illustrates the three steps to evil. One, as a silent witness when they laid his clothes at his feet. Two, as a consenting spectator. Paul was approving of his act. And the last verse of our text, as an active participant when he went out and persecuted the church. Paul, the persecutor of the church, is as sincere as Stephen, the promoter of the church. What later caused Saul the persecutor to become Paul, a promoter of Christ? Paul's changeover, technically his conversion, had the same source as Stephen's courage, the influence of the Holy Spirit. It took supernatural help, the divine gift of the Holy Spirit, to change Paul's attitude and understanding from what he had learned from Gamaliel, particularly in 2 points, that deity actually died on the cross, and that the law given to a select people was not a cause for boasting and pride, but explicitly resulted in a curse to all people, for no one could fulfill its demand. As Paul says in Romans 4, no one is righteous. All have turned away, and one and all have become worthless. What else can account for the 180-degree reversal in Paul except divine revelation, as Paul admits in Galatians 1:12? Not necessarily all at once, but as his heart and mind were enlightened by the Holy Spirit. The lesson or application is almost too obvious to dwell on. We are good guys, thanks to God's grace, to Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection, and to the gift of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. Our changeover, in the sense of justification, is complete, is perfect. Our changeover in the sense of being promoters of God's kingdom through a sanctified life and service is the same, is one of progress through imperfection. The source of our progress is in service is the same as that of Stephen and Paul. We are here for serious study of God's word, exegetically, systematically, historically, and practically. Though through serious, humble, and diligent contact with his word and sacrament, God will use us as his agents, as promoters of his kingdom, and will endow us also with Christian courage. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen.